The light in the heavens was darkened. The earth was an ashen gray. The sky overhead with ominous clouds had cast out the light of day. From far, far above, the thunder rolled, and from deep in the heavens a crash. The earth reels, and a blinding light explodes in the sky with a flash. A death-bearing hurricane it was. Grown men were filled with fear. Trees were bending, windows breaking, panic far and near. Even invading troops on the march and the sound of the enemy's fire would not invoke more fright than this. What awesome, unbridled power. But, oh, dear Christian, stop and think. The most deadly storm in the world is only a tiny fraction of the power of God unfurled. We cannot grasp its awesomeness. We stand on holy sod. For, beloved, that same incredible power lives in every child of God. The awesome power of God. It is beyond human comprehension. His creative power is beyond our comprehension. He speaks and worlds come into being. His sustaining power is beyond comprehension. He holds the whole universe together, the scripture says, by the breath of his power. His transforming power is beyond our comprehension. At his touch, a dead human spirit residing in a soul destined for eternity in hell comes to life, and finite man becomes eternally inhabited by the living God. His righteous power is beyond comprehension. At the sound of his voice, nations crumble. At his touch, wicked kings and kingdoms perish off the face of the earth. According to Matthew 24, one day he will just speak, and the earth will tremble, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give forth its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and all the powers of the earth will be shaken. One day his righteousness will be vindicated with great power, a power beyond our comprehension. None of us fully fathoms the power of God. You cannot, just as you cannot grasp the magnitude of the Grand Canyon by staring at a pebble, so you cannot grasp the power of God by taking the most powerful thing you know of on earth and multiplying it. You can't grasp God's power by magnifying our concepts of it to the nth degree. It doesn't work. And in the same way, you can't fathom the power of God by taking what you see of the power of God and imagining that to be a measuring stick. For instance, you can't measure the power of God by an erupting volcano. You cannot measure the power of God by a blinding snowstorm or by the debris of a drought or the wreckage of a flood. You cannot gauge the power of God by anything you see, because everything you see is such a small portion of his power that it would not even register on the scale of eternity were you to try to measure it. The power of God, it is beyond comprehension. And yet it is possible, in fact it is necessary, according to Scripture, for us to come to understand everything we can about God's omnipotence. We're told in Scripture that though we cannot comprehend it, we are told to sing of it, to worship at the thought of it, and to reflect on it constantly. The power of God. His is the power. That's the vein of truth that runs beneath the surface of all of God's efforts to teach man about lordship. And so Jesus used it as an anthem of praise to teach us how to pray. He said, praise like this: thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. We studied in our last lesson the principle of the kingship of God. We learned that a kingdom is a sphere in which a king occupies preeminence and exercises authority. We learned that his is the kingdom because we are his in three ways. We are his by virtue of creation. We are his by virtue of redemption. And we are his by choice, by virtue of our own free wills. We chose to ask him to rule over us, so his is the kingdom. But, beloved, the fact that his is the kingdom simply cannot be separated from the fact that his is the power. Because a king can't exercise authority unless he has the power to exert that authority. It is of no value for a policeman to warn you not to speed if he doesn't have either the power to stop you from speeding or to punish you for speeding. With God, that's no problem. His is the power. The authority belongs to him. All power belongs to God. He is the omnipotent, all-powerful God of creation. There's nothing he cannot do. Therefore, there's nothing we cannot trust him to do. We can trust his word because he has the power to keep his word. We can trust His love because He has the power to demonstrate that love. We can trust His righteousness because He has the power to defend His righteousness. His is the power. The title of today's lesson then is, Thine is the Power. And it is only in three parts. Thine is the power, what is the power, and whose is the power. When our gracious Lord instructed us to praise the Father for His power, He was teaching us to pray effectively. He was teaching us that God alone possesses all power. He is omnipotent. Psalm 62:11, a good verse to memorize and a good verse to review in the times in which we live. It says, God hath spoken once, yea, twice have I heard this, power belongeth to God. Power belongs to God. And when the Christian prays, Thine is the power, he is bearing witness to the fact that the Creator God of heaven and earth not only possesses the ownership of all things, but He also possesses the authority and the energy to bring to pass anything He chooses to do in this kingdom over which He presides. He owns it all, and He owns the power to rule it without compromise. His is the power. Now, what is power? Kings and presidents will risk their kingdoms to maintain power. Young men in search of success may barter their reputations or sacrifice their families in quest of power. Nations will store up arms to defend themselves against enemies who are seeking to expand their power. But it's also futile. For in the end, beloved, the power belongs to God. Well, the psalmist said in Psalm 75:6-7, a verse most of you know, promotion cometh neither from the east, nor the west, nor the south. God's the judge. He putteth down one. He setteth up another. So man's quest for power is useless at best. He will risk everything he has to gain it, and as quickly as the second hand on the clock makes its move, that venture, that kingdom, or those dreams can be destroyed. And likewise, in the same split second of time, a sovereign, omnipotent God can lift up one as well as put down another. Power belongs to God. Now, the words translated power or authority in the New Testament come from different roots. But essentially, they can be summarized into one definition. Power is the authority to rule combined with the ability to rule. It is, as one writer said it so well, it is the right accompanied by the might. The right comes from the fact that His is the kingdom. The might comes from the fact that His is the power. So the power of God, then, is His ability to exercise His strength based on His authority to do so. Because He is the sovereign Creator God who made us, who redeemed us, He has the right to do whatever He chooses, and whatever He chooses is best. But because He is the omnipotent one, He has the might to do whatever He deems it is right to do, with no exceptions. His is the power. The power belongs to God. His very name is power. It is part and parcel of His nature. When He breathes, power comes forth. When He speaks, power comes forth. When He decides, power comes forth. He is power incarnate, and that power exhibits itself in a thousand ways. This morning, we're going to simply take five, and we'll look at them as we progress in this fashion. Number one, the power of God in creation, the power of God in the elements, the power of God in the nations, and the power of God in His Word, and then the power of God in His people. First of all, let's look at the creative power of God. By that we mean that only God can make something out of nothing, and that everything that is good and acceptable has as its origins the heart of God. God simply spoke, and it happened. Because He alone has the right to create something out of nothing, and because He alone has the might to create something out of nothing, the Scripture says He made this earth by His power. Listen to what it says in the Word of God about the creative power of God. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. He hath made the earth by His power. He established the world by His wisdom. He stretched out the heavens by His discretion. When He uttereth His voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. Jeremiah 32, Thou hast made the heaven and earth by thy great power and outstretched arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And God answers, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? You see, God spoke, and the sun gave light. God spoke, and the moon appeared in the heavens to reflect its glow. God spoke, and the oceans rose and flowed across the continents of this planet until the confines of this planet, until God spoke, and the water stopped, and their boundaries were fixed. God spoke, and the stars filled the sky like glistening diamonds, each assigned a place in the heavens, each given a distinct name, each given a story to tell of the redemption of man. God spoke, and there was day. God spoke, and there was night. God spoke, and there was man. God spoke, and there were animals, fish, birds, flowers, trees, clouds, rain. God spoke, and there was winter. God spoke, and there was spring. Everything in its own season, everything in its own time, but everything by God's omnipotent hand. He is the Creator God. He made you, and He can remake you into the image of His Son. And only He can. The very creative acts of God alone tell the story. His is the power. You realize what that means? It means if God can speak and bring something out of nothing, then that same God can take the debris of that tragedy in your life and simply by His touch turn sorrow into laughing, mourning into joy. It means that when God says He will speak and the dead will rise, beloved, He will have no cause to doubt. To bring life from death is nothing to God. He it is who brought life from nothing. Secondly, God demonstrates His power through His control of the elements of nature. Not only did He create all things, He sustains all things by the breath of His power. He is able to sustain this universe with all of its turmoil, all of its upheaval, all of its rebellion against His authority. He sustains the perfect blend of chemicals, the perfect blend of temperatures, the perfect orbit of the planets, the perfect arrangement of the forces of nature. God upholds all things by the word of His power. Should our God blink His eye, the world and all that is in it would cease to be. Should He but look the other way, we could not breathe the air, we could not sustain the gravity, we could not keep the balance of nature for 1 second. He is the sustainer God. What He creates, He keeps. And because His is the power, and this physical world, a portrait of the spiritual world in which we live, teaches us that our God as well sustains us in our salvation. 1 Peter 1:5. You who are kept saved by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last time. And doesn't all of nature just wait on God for its instructions? Listen to Psalm 65:6. By His strength He setteth fast the mountains. Being girded with power, He stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their ways, the tumult of the people. Psalm 107, He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. It blows. He lifteth the waves thereof. And then He makes the storm calm. The waves are still. Beloved, our God can speak to the wind, and it dare not blow. Our God can speak to the seas, and the waters become calm. Our God can speak to the sun, and it will cease to shine. All of nature is in submission to our God. Can He then not but speak, and those winds that blow against your life be stilled as well? When it is within His will, cannot He calm the waves that lash against us and cause those storms to cease? He can. Because His is the power. Thirdly, our God demonstrates His power among the nations. And in the day and age in which we live, we need to be reminded of that. He sets up one king and He puts down another. He allows the nations to rage and war against another, but only for a time and only for a reason. And when He has had enough, the strongest of kings is melted like wax. When He has had enough, the strongest of armies are overcome by the same raging sea which just opened up as a gateway to His own. When He's had enough, those nations who defy His name and defy His world, deny His word, will perish off the face of this earth. The Bible says man will look, but he won't be able to find them. They will be gone. When our God has had enough, my friend, those who shake their tongues in derision against Israel will be nowhere to be found. The nations belong to God. And the power of God reaches all the way to the throne and back, for His is the power. Listen to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Psalm 46, 6, the heathen, I love this passage, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. Sounds like our generation. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Power. Psalm 66, 3, how terrible art thou in thy works, through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Isaiah 17:3, the nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters. Then God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee. They shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before a whirlwind. There they go. Isaiah 23:11 says, He stretched out His hand over the sea and shook the kingdoms. My friend, the nations are no problem for God. None of them. So stop being frantic in your fears over the plight of this world. Let not your heart be troubled over what you read in the newspapers and what looms on the horizon of this battered universe. Sure, we live in troubled times. But my friend, the scripture says when God decides to act, the heavens will shake, the mountains will tremble, the trees will bow in submission to His name, and kings and kingdoms will vanish at the breath of His mouth. They may rant and rave for a season, beloved, but when God chooses to act, the nations will rest in the palm of His hand, for His is the power. The fourth evidence of His power is demonstrated by His word. What power! What authority in His word! You see, the difference between the power of God and the power of man is that when God speaks, it always happens. Nothing can stop it. When God utters His voice, it's done. That is ultimate power. That is perfect authority. And the scriptures are clear that His is the power when His word goes forth. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 2. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Well, look and see. Thou shalt see now whether my words shall come to pass or not, God said. Psalm 33, 9. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Isaiah 14, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. The Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And His hand is stretched out. Who's going to turn it back? Isaiah 46, 10 and 11, my counsel shall stand, and I shall do all my pleasure. I've spoken it, I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed, I'll do it. One of my favorite verses, Romans 4:21. Many of you have memorized it. What He had promised, He was able also to perform. And God isn't finished yet. Hebrews 12 says, God's voice then shook the earth, but now He hath made a promise. The promise is this, yet once more I'll shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Our God is able to keep His word. He said He will return, and He will. He said He will judge the nations, and He will. He said He will unveil a new heaven and a new earth, and He will. His word is perfect, and His is the power to keep that word to the letter. Beloved, that means every word God speaks is true. It means we have an anchor in a world that's falling apart. We have a sure word that cannot fail, spoken by a God who has the power to keep that word to the letter, what He's promised to perform. Confident is ours. And one last thought. Though God's power is evident in creation and in the elements and in His dealings with the nations and particularly in His word, there's still another place He demonstrates that power that is an even greater source of comfort. And that is the manner in which God demonstrates His power on behalf of each of His children. He'll reach down and meet the smallest needs we have in order to demonstrate His love. He'll part seas and bring water from rocks. Or He'll just send showers on a needed parcel of land, or send an envelope in the mail at the right time, or the phone will ring, or He'll move the heart of an enemy in order to protect us. He loves us, and His power is an expression of that love. Psalm 76:60 says this, "At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into a deep sleep. Who may stand in thy sight when thou art angry?" And I think Daniel 3:17 is worth memorizing. It says, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand." We serve a God of infinite power. There's nothing he cannot do. He can speak and the world will stop turning. He can speak and the stars will cease to shine. He can speak and the earth will turn on its axis the opposite direction or cease to turn at all. We serve a God whose name is power. But beloved, when you fuse that power with his love, you have an incredible demonstration of who he is. He cares, he provides, he protects, he intervenes. He's our Father, and all power belongs to him. But not only is his the power, because his is the power, ours is the power. It's the reason Paul said the same power that raised Christ from the dead is now resident in you. And because there's nothing he cannot do, beloved, when he is allowed to be himself in us, there is nothing we cannot do. So long as we are yielded to his kingdom's coming, his will being done on earth as it is in heaven, beloved, we are invincible. Enemies may shake their fist. Some may rise up and curse the name of God. Persecution may abound. Circumstances cloud the sky until the sun does not shine. But, beloved, we have a sure word from God. At a precise moment in time, whatever precise moment will bring the most glory to his name, our God, who neither slumbers nor sleeps, will rise up on our behalf. And once again, personally, just for you, the earth will tremble. The mountains will shake. The trees will bow in homage to his name. And our precious God will move into that situation in your life that seems so impossible. And those walls that seem so impenetrable will melt before your eyes. Because, beloved, the power belongs to God. So talk about his power as you walk by the way. And sing about his power as you go through the day. Praise him for his power as you worship. And as you pray, "For unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we bow before you and acknowledge that thine is the power. Thine is the kingdom. You own it, you own us, and you know what's best. And thine is the power. You can do, you have the right to do, you have the might to do what you have the right to do. Some of us here this morning, Father, are struggling with fear and anxiety and frustration. And the enemy has whispered in our ear that things are out of control in our own lives or on this planet. We hear of catastrophes and people being slaughtered. We hear of the nations in upheaval. We hear of fear abounding on every side. We need to stop this morning and remind ourselves there's something more current than the newspaper or than the television set, and that's the Word of God. One day you'll speak, and the wrongs will be made right. Righteousness will reign, and the king will be on his throne. Father, don't let us forget that. May we leave this place today with a conscious excitement over the power of God, that we have nothing to fear, because stronger and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. To our God of power be all praise and glory.